tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Great to see you guys. Welcome to Next Level. If this is your first time, my name is Rob. I'd love to meet you. I'll be hanging out in the lobby after the service, and very honored for you guys to be here today. If you are new, I'd like to invite you to do something with us. For us, we don't want you just to sit back and just listen, and we don't want you just to be entertained. We don't want you just to sit here and kind of soak some stuff in. We want you to participate with what you're about to experience. And the way to do that is by downloading a free app called YouVersion. And in YouVersion, there's an event page that we set up every week for you guys. And this is a place where you can take notes. And if I could just challenge you just real quickly before we get into things, this is a series that you're going to want to take notes on. This is a series where you're going to have some things that you're going to say, I'm going to remember that, but come next week, come next month, you're going to forget about it, and you're going to wish you had some things written down. And so I would encourage you to write down some thoughts, write down some ideas, and we provide some electronic notes for you in there. There's also a free poll and some other things in YouVersion, so I'd love to challenge you to dig into to the events page. You can follow the steps up there on the screen. And to kick things off, I want to do something that is different for us, and this is something that we've never done in the history of Next Level Church in the 4 years of existence. This is something brand new, and I just want to experiment with it. I was thinking back to something that my pastor growing up used to do, and he used to have us stand at the beginning of his sermon to read the Bible, and I remember him talking about how that so often when there's someone that deserves honor and they walk into the room, you stand to show them honor. And when we come to these texts that are so ancient, that have been around for so long, it's a honor for us to say, hey, we're going to be open and receptive to what God wants to say to us. And so he would have us stand. And so we're just going to test this out. It may fail gloriously, but I just want to test it out for the next few weeks and try something new. And so I just invite all of you guys just to stand on up, and the scripture is going to come up on the screen. And if you guys would just read our text for the day, read it out loud, read it like you're excited and awake to be here. Proverbs 24, 3 through 6 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. The wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge muster their strength. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors." Now that we've read the text, I want to engage with it and just say a short prayer to God. If you're new to the church scene, if you're scared to pray, we're not going to make you pray out loud, but I want to invite you to pray something that I pray often. It's a simple prayer that says, God, speak to my heart and give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do. And I want to invite you to spend a few seconds just talking to God. Would you do that? God, we're so honored that we get to stand in your presence, and we're here, God. For some of us, it's been a really long time since we've been to church. For others of us, we've been coming so long, we just kind of tune things out. And we just ask, God, in the next few moments that you'd remove distractions from this room. We ask that you'd remove anything that would distract us from hearing from you. We pray, God, that you would remove the distractions from our minds and from our hearts, the things that are weighing on us. Would you help us just to listen to you? And God, would you give us the courage to obey you, to do whatever you tell us to do. God, it is so difficult, but God, we trust that if you're going to talk to us, it's because you love us, and it's worth it to obey you. And God, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, today, we're kicking off a brand new series entitled Family Blueprint. And the first thing, right off the bat, what you need to know is that I do not have a perfect family. I'm not up here because I'm the perfect husband. I'm not up here speaking because I'm the perfect dad. I'm not up here because I was the perfect son. Every family has issues. There are no perfect families. And if you're sitting there saying, well, if you're not perfect, if you don't have it all figured out, why are you talking to us about family? I would say, stop being so judgmental, okay? That's where I would start. But the second thing that I would say to you is, in order to get anything out of this series, you have to be honest with yourself. The temptation is to pretend to be better than we really are. And this is why in family photos, we spend so much time making sure everything looks perfect so we can show the world, look how great our family is. There's no issues. Everyone's happy. Everyone loves each other. But the truth of the matter is family is incredibly complicated and difficult. And for some of you, you grew up in a dysfunctional home with dysfunctional parents, and family marks us. And even if you've said to yourself, I'm going to do things differently because I don't want to be like mom and dad, family, more than anything else, marks and shapes who we are. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about family, but you need to come into this with some humility and some honesty that says, hey, listen, you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. I was reminded of this just last week. Last week, my kids wanted to go for a walk, and in our neighborhood, we have some ducks that are in our neighborhood that are at this little body of water, and it's a half mile to walk down to the ducks and a half mile back, so it's a good distance. My kids are twins. They're 5 years old, and so it's a good distance for us, you know, a mile round trip, and the whole way to the ducks, my son wanted to run, and he kept just saying, let's run, let's run, and so I would run a little bit, but my daughter wasn't having it. She was just like, I don't want to run, and so he kept saying, Dad, can we please run the whole way back? And he said it over and over again. After we feed the ducks, can we run the whole way back to the house? And so we got to the ducks, and I said, he was so persistent. I looked at his sister, and I said, Reese, we're going to run the whole way back. And she's like, I don't want to. And I said, I know you don't want to, but we're going to do this. We're going to do this together, and I'll run with you. I'll hold your hand. Like, we'll go at a pretty slow pace. It's going to be great, but we're going to do this together, and I want you to push through, and I want you to have a good attitude. And so she said, okay. And so we started running. And we weren't even a quarter of the way there. And she starts yelling out, I hate summer. Why is it so hot? I'm sweating, Daddy. This is awful. Can we stop? And she's just complaining. Now, what you need to know is that in our family dynamic, my son tends to be the more dramatic one. And my daughter is more laid back. And so it was like a role reversal. Like, she's being dramatic. And my son stops. He's running. He's in front of us. And he stops. And he turns around. And he says, Reese, you just need to believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you can do anything. I know. And then he was like, there's more. He's like, Reese, it's like I believe in myself right now, and I believe that I can do it, so it's making the running not hard. And I'm like, oh. That's my boy. Like, I'm just filled with all this emotion, and I can't believe he's coaching her, because for years, he's 5 years old, and for years, he gets hung up on the simplest thing. He'll get one shoe on, can't get the other one, and he throws it, and he has just a fit. And so I'm constantly saying to him, buddy, you're making it worse by overreacting. If you just believe you can do it, you can do it. So to hear him say this to her, it was like this amazing moment, and I was so proud, and I wanted to take a picture and video it and put it on Facebook, and it was like this incredible moment. Well, the very next night, we got to dinner with my parents, and we're at Ruby Tuesdays, and we decided to order the kids' waters instead of the drinks that come with the kids' meal, because it's extra money, and we wanted to save some money. And so when the waiter brought out these drinks, my kids were hungry, and especially my son. He is really scheduled, and if we go anywhere past the schedule, he just gets off, and just kind of, he just gets a little wonky. And so we normally eat at 5:30. It was 7 p.m., and then we were waiting for the food, and so he was getting hangry, like he was hungry and angry, you know what I'm saying? And so he was like, Daddy, I'm just so thirsty, I'm just so hungry. And so the waiter brings out the drink and places it in front of him. My daughter takes her cup and starts drinking it, no problem. Well, when he takes his glass, a little of it sloshes into his lap, and it's not too much, just a little bit. And he takes the cup and slams it back down. I'm not drinking that water. I don't like that water. That water's all... And I'm like, hey, buddy, you need to calm down. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, you're making it worse. And then I said to him, remember what you said to Reese. You said if you just believe in yourself, you can do it. And you're making things worse by not believing. If you just believe in yourself and believe that you can do it, you can drink the water. And he looks up at me and he says, I didn't say that. In front of my parents, my wife, and like, so my wife, she chirps up and she's like, Hayden, that's disrespectful. You said that. And he said, I did not. Daddy's a liar! I'm like, son, I'm about to punt kick you into Ruby Wednesdays. Like, this is, are you kidding me right now? And this is all in public. It's all in front of the waiter. It's all in front of everyone. And I tell you that because I don't have a perfect family. Like, and you don't have a perfect family. And this isn't about learning how to pretend to be perfect or even learning how to be perfect. This is learning how to set up a foundation so that we can have the best families possible. Because isn't it true that we spend more time organizing and planning a family photo than we do setting a foundation for our family? And I don't know about you, but there's just this pressure in our world to pretend to be perfect and pretend to have it all together and pretend not to be stressed and pretend to love every second of parenting and to pretend to have this amazing marriage. And so we often put on these masks and pretend to be better than we really are. And especially on social media, if you post pictures on social media, most of us are not very honest. We don't show when we burn the food. We only show when it comes out perfectly. If most of us were honest, our social media post would look more like this picture. I don't know if you can see it in the back, but there's a kid hanging on the back of the wagon. And the caption says, "Hey honey, smile so we look like the perfect parents." And that's so tempting for us as families. And here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you over the next few weeks. I want to challenge you just to be honest and to be real. And if you're here today, I don't care what stage of life you're in. If you're a teenager, this is a great series for you. If you're a single, this is a great series for you. Don't you dare, if you're single, say, "I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to be reminded that I'm not married yet. I don't want any of that stuff." Do not write off this series. If you write off this series, that would be like you going to college and yelling at your professor because he's trying to prep you for your future job. Like, it just wouldn't make sense. And this is stuff that we want to prep you so that when you do get into a relationship and you do have a family of your own, you have the foundation to have the best family possible. So if you're single, make this series a priority, because I think it'll set you up for better success one day when God does lead you to that relationship. But if you're a parent of young kids, if you're a parent and your kids are teenagers, if you're a parent and your kids are out, or maybe you're divorced and you're thinking, "I don't even know what my next stage is," this is a series that I think all of us can relate to, because all of us have family. And whether it's parents or cousins or siblings, there is a family dynamic, and we want to get to the heart of what is the foundation, like what is God's plan for the family. And so today we're going to dive into a text, and you guys have already read it. And the text comes from what is known to be the wisest man ever to live. Now, if you grew up in the church, then you know that that's Solomon. Some people call him King Solomon because he was a king. If you didn't grow up in the church, Solomon is fascinating because when he was really young, he had a dream, he had a vision, and God appears to him this vision, and God offers to give him almost anything that he wants. He just has to ask for it. And Solomon could have asked for anything. He could have asked for gold. He could have asked for fame. He could have asked for a lifetime supply of free guacamole at Chipotle. Can I get an amen? But he didn't. What Solomon asked for was wisdom. And God was so honored by his request, he grants Solomon this supernatural wisdom. And thankfully, Solomon wrote down in a book that we call Proverbs all the lessons that he learned about wisdom. And Proverbs is amazing. If you have a difficult time getting into the Bible or reading the Bible, I would challenge you for the next 31 days, read Proverbs. And what I used to do is I would read a proverb a day. There's 31 of them, so there's one for every day of every month of the year. And whatever day of the month is, if it's the 10th, if it's the 11th, 12th, I read that proverb. And it's just little nuggets of wisdom that can encourage you and challenge you. And so the wisest man ever has something to say about the family. And that's what we're going to dive into today. Proverbs 24, 3 through 6, Solomon wrote, "By wisdom, a house is built." Now, let's stop there just for a second. Solomon says, "By wisdom," and this is really important because today in our culture, we don't use the word wisdom a lot. And for many of us, when we think of wisdom, we think of maybe someone who is elderly or wise, or we think of someone who's really smart or who has maybe a doctorate, or someone has a lot of education, and we say, "Oh, they're wise." But the ancients didn't view wisdom as being smart. They viewed wisdom, and I love the definition, the ancients from Solomon's time, the ancient rabbis, the ancient men that would teach about God, when they would define wisdom, they defined it as wisdom is the art of skillful living. That is my favorite definition of wisdom. That wisdom's not just being smart, it's not just knowing some things, it's not knowing facts, it is the art of skillful living. And I don't know about you, but I want to be skillful when it comes to my family. I want to be a skillful dad. I want to be a skillful husband. I want to be a skillful son to my parents. I want to be skillful to my siblings. I want to be skillful. I want to do this life well. And wisdom is the art of skillful living. Now, when I think of that definition of wisdom, I can't help but think of The Karate Kid. Anyone ever seen The Karate Kid? I'm talking about the original from 1984, not this new Will Smith son junk. Like, that's, no. I'm talking about the new one. Way less hands went up than what I was expecting. I forgive you. I don't know how this works in the church world, but I bless you, my children. Go in peace. Go watch Karate Kid today. It's an amazing movie. And in the Karate Kid, there is a karate teacher, Mr. Miyagi, and his pupil, Daniel, or he calls Daniel's son. They have this interaction after this scene where there's like some drunk guys who are causing some trouble. And it is an amazing scene. I love the dialogue that Daniel says, "Hey, you ever get into fights when you were a kid?" And Mr. Miyagi says, "Huh, plenty." That's my Mr. Miyagi impersonation. Daniel says, "Yeah, but it wasn't like the problem I have, right?" And Mr. Miyagi says, "Why? Fighting, fighting, same, same." And Daniel says, "Yeah, but you knew karate." And Mr. Miyagi says, "Someone always know more." Daniel says, "You mean there are times where you were scared to fight?" Mr. Miyagi says, "Always scared. Miyagi hate fighting." Daniel then says, "Yeah, but you like karate." Miyagi says, "So?" Daniel says, "So karate's fighting. You train to fight." And Mr. Miyagi quickly says, "That what you think?" And Daniel thinks for a second and he says, "No." Mr. Miyagi says, "Then why train?" And Daniel says, "So I won't have to fight." Miyagi then says, "Miyagi has hope for you yet." It's this amazing scene where it's, I'm teaching you how to fight so you don't actually have to fight. And that is wisdom. And in this series, we're going to talk about family, and we're going to talk about conflict, and we're going to talk about how to have a better family, not because we're all dysfunctional and everything's bad. We're going to talk about it so that, like Mr. Miyagi, we can actually have healthy relationships and avoid some of the pits and some of the issues that plague so many families. And so we're going to spend some time looking at what Solomon says. It's our theme verse, and I want to go back to it for a second. Solomon says in the first verse, "By wisdom, a house is built." Now, I want to stop there again for a second, because what Solomon is doing is Solomon is using a word picture for the family. And he says house because a house is something we all can relate to. A house is something that we all know about. We all live in or see houses. We know about houses. And so you can substitute in this scripture the word family for house. He's trying to give a picture for us to understand. And he says, by wisdom, a family is built. So how is a family built? I thought a family was built when two people fall in love, and then, you know, one night something led to something else, and then there's kids, and that's how a family's built. And Solomon would say, no, no, no. A family is built intentionally. A family is built with wisdom. But then he goes on to say, and through understanding, it is established. Now, this is why this is so important. It is so easy for us to sit back and to nod our heads and to hear wisdom and say, that's good. That's good advice. I like that. And we're so tempted to say because we've heard good advice, that means that we're actually going to live it out. But the truth of the matter is just hearing something doesn't change your life. It's when you make a decision to go out and actually do something about it, that's where the change happens. And Solomon says a house is built by wisdom. But catch this, understanding, that's so important. Understanding is how the house is established. So let me just throw this out. I'm not trying to step on your toes, but I'm just guessing that the vast majority of us here haven't sought out a lot of wisdom or understanding when it comes to the family. We all acknowledge that family is difficult and family is hard, but I would bet that the vast majority of us, when we started dating, we didn't pick up a book on dating. And I bet that most of us, when we got engaged, we didn't read two or three books. We probably didn't even read one book on how to have a great marriage. And when kids started coming along to the relationship, most people don't make time to read a book or to seek advice. We just do this stuff. And then we wonder why so many couples end in divorce. Stats say that about 55% of all marriages end in divorce. But yet when we go into a relationship, we think we're different. We love each other. What everyone else struggles with, we're not going to struggle with that. And so we ignore wisdom. And Solomon says, don't do that. A house is built by wisdom and through understanding. It is established. And in order to build your family with wisdom, you have to be intentional. Just like when you go to have a family photo, you have to be very intentional and you coordinate the outfits and you think through everything to make sure it looks great and everyone's matching and there's no like clashing colors. You put so much effort in a family photo, you have to be intentional with your family. Now, this is so difficult because the immediate is always taking our attention. And if you're parents and you have young kids, you understand how the immediate stops you from future planning. You may want to plan for their college or plan for marriage. You might want to be trying to train them. But like little kids dominate your time and there's immediate issues. They've got to go to the bathroom. You've got to change a diaper. They're hungry. You're constantly on the run taking care of immediate issues. And when my kids were 2 and 3 years old, anytime I spent time alone with them where my wife was gone, I never thought about the future. I never thought about planning for their future. All I thought about is that if I survive today and no kid dies, that's a win. That's all my plan was. And every time my wife came home and both my kids were healthy and whole, it was like, wow, we won. But I wasn't sitting down with them thinking, okay, maybe if we do this, it'll help you become better human beings. I just was in survival mode. And if you're parents of teenagers, it's so easy to get into survival mode and say, well, they're just running around like crazy. They got extracurricular things going on after school, and they have sports, and they have homework, and they have their own issues, and I'm just in survival mode. I don't have time to try to prep them to be great adults one day. I'm just trying to survive this stage of life. If you're single, it is so easy to forget about the future and think only about the immediate. And if you're single, you need to hold on to this. What you do today impacts your tomorrow. And if you are not intentional, you're going to end up 30, 40, 50 years old and say, where did the time go? I thought I had so much time to build this and do this, and you're going to miss it because you're just living for the immediate. And Solomon says, by wisdom, that is, you've got to be intentional. And through understanding, you've got to plan out the family. Let's keep going and see what he says next. He says, by wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. The wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge muster their strength. And let's stop there just for a second. Did you catch what Solomon said? He said, when you build a house with wisdom and you understand with knowledge and you put that together, there will be all sorts of rare treasures within the house. But Solomon is not saying that your life will be perfect. In fact, he alludes to the fact that there might even be some tensions and some problems, and there might be some difficulties in the family. But on the other side of that, if you have a good system, if you've put wisdom in your house, if you've established a house with wisdom and understanding, even in difficult circumstances, you can come out the other side. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want, even when life hits us with hard things, to still come out the other side with a happy family, with a whole family? When we go through difficulties, don't we just want to get out on the other side and say, that was really hard. We didn't see that coming, but it didn't separate our family. It didn't break us apart. We love each other so much that we're still together, even though that was an awful season that we never would wish on anyone. But we made it through to the other side. And then he closes this out and he says, surely you need guidance to wage war. And victory is won through many advisors. Now, when I read this, I don't know if Solomon has ADD or I don't know what's going on here. He's talking about the family, and he's talking about building a house, and he's talking about wisdom and knowledge, and then all of a sudden he starts talking about waging war. And I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, maybe Solomon had ADD, and he was like, you know, squirrel, oh, someone's attacking us, let me put in some little advice here at the end of it. Maybe that's what's going on. But then it dawned on me when I was studying this verse that Solomon had 700 wives. Be careful how loud you say that wow if your wife's sitting next to you. But think about it just for a second. Just think about it for a second. 700 wives. And the saying is true. Happy wife, happy life. This joker was trying to keep 700 women happy. And so when he's talking about building a home, he starts thinking about, I got 42, they're mad at me for this. I got another 12 mad at me for this. I got 13. And he's just thinking, there's all these women mad at me. And so then he writes, surely you need guidance to wage war. And how is victory won? Through many advisors. Now, I think that Solomon is talking about the family. And I think if you're here, what I'm asking that you do is that you commit to seek some advice from advisors. Solomon says, from many advisors. And here's the challenge for this series. I'm challenging all of you to commit to be here for this series for the next 3 weeks. It's 4 weeks total, this week and three more. And I'm asking, I know it's hard. I know you're juggling a lot of schedules. I know some of you, it's just difficult to be at church every week. But this is, I believe that your family is so important that you should make this series a priority. And we've given everyone here these wristbands. They're in your chair. You might be sitting on them, or maybe you threw them on the ground. But there's these wristbands that they're for you to take Take home with you. Even if you can't come back to the service or if you're never going to make it, it's fine. It's your gift. But we gave this to you to remind you to be thinking about and praying for God to move in your life during this series. This is such an important thing because family is built intentionally. And if you're just hoping that one day you'll have a great family and you'll just stumble upon a great family and one day all the issues will just kind of fix themselves, that's not the way the world works. Solomon says that if you want to build a house, you got to build it with wisdom and with knowledge. And when there's war, when there's tension, when there's complications, you need to seek guidance. Well, Solomon is saying exactly what we want to do in this series. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how you build a house. How do you build a family that is healthy? And I think in any house, I don't really know construction. I barely own a hammer. I don't really know anything about anything building or construction-wise. But what I do understand is that when you build a building, it starts with the foundation. And if you want to build a house that makes it through life's storms, you've got to intentionally build a foundation that is the groundwork for your entire family. And if you're single, you start building it right now. If you're newly married, you start building it right now. Even if your kids are out of the house, it's not too late for you to start building this foundation. The foundation for every single healthy relationship is simply this: unconditional acceptance and love. The foundation for every family unit is unconditional acceptance and love. This is a foundation. If you want to have a healthy family that makes it through life storms, this is where it starts. Now, this information is based off leading psychologists, leading pastors, and based off the scriptures that God has given us. And if you were to find out how do I have a better family? What do I need to do? It starts with this: unconditional acceptance and unconditional love. Unconditional acceptance means you do not control anyone but yourself. Unconditional acceptance means you do not control anyone but yourself. Ultimately, unconditional acceptance says you get to be you and I get to be me in the relationship. Now, this is so difficult because you and I are control freaks. And we don't like when other people do things that are different than the way that we want them to be done. And so often in a relationship, relationships become unhealthy because it's not a safe environment for your spouse or your kids to be who God has created them to be. Because we don't like who God created them to be. Why don't you think through all the details like I do? I'm a planner. You need to just plan this out, and you need to be different than how God wired you to be, is what we're saying. And we get really upset and frustrated with our spouse or our kids when they're a little weird, when they're a little different, when they do something that is different than us. And the foundation of a home is unconditional acceptance. Now, unconditional acceptance does not mean that you accept every bad behavior from everyone in your family. That would be unhealthy. Unconditional acceptance doesn't mean that you let your kids run wild and there's no authority and there's no discipline in the house. Unconditional acceptance does not mean that you allow another human being to abuse you or hurt you because you're accepting them. That is not what it means. Unconditional acceptance means I control me and you control you. I'm not going to try to live your life. I'm not going to try to force you to do something. You are free in this relationship to be who God created you to be, and I'm free to be who God created me to be. And I love the illustration that Pastor Danny Silk gives with what do we do when there's some mess in the relationship. And he likens it to, like if you have a son, if you're a parent of a son, he likens it to if your son's outside playing and your son steps in some dog poo, and you see it, and you come and you tell your son, hey, you need to wipe that off, clean it up, and then you can come inside. And your son right away starts saying, oh, it's hot out, I'm just thirsty, I want to come in, just let me walk in. And a good loving parent would say, listen, they would stay calm, they wouldn't yell, they wouldn't scream, they would stay calm and say, listen, you need to take care of that mess and clean that mess up, and then you can come into the house. What the parent is not saying is that you as a human being are not welcome in our house. You're welcome to come into the house. But there is a mess that I don't want tracked into our house. And unconditional acceptance is, I'm going to accept you whether or not you change, but if you have some poo in your life, if there's some poo on the shoe, if there's some things that are going to stink up our family, you need to keep that outside. And that means that sometimes you have to have hard conversations around Christmas time. Sometimes a family member comes in and you say, listen, I love you. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I love you, brother. I love you, cousin. I love you. I don't want to change you. I love exactly who you are. But my house is a safe house. And you can't bring that substance in my house. Because I'm trying to set an example for my kids. And we don't judge you. I'm not telling you how to live your life. But you need to know that you've got to keep that out there. Not you. You're welcome in the house. It's the mess that you got to keep outside. For some of you, it might mean a difficult conversation. For some of you, it might mean a difficult conversation because there are some people who just are addicted to negativity. And you might have to have a hard conversation that says, listen, our family is a safe place and we don't talk bad about family members. So you're welcome to come. We can't wait. We're excited for you to be here this week. We love that you're coming, but you're not going to talk bad about the other family members who come into our house. And you set up boundaries. Boundaries do not mean that you do not accept who they are. You love them. You just don't love the poo that's on the shoe. You get what I'm saying? And so you've got to set up some healthy boundaries to let them know, I accept you. I'm not trying to change you. You can live your life however you want, but when you come into my house, it has to be a safe place. Unconditional acceptance means you do not control anyone but yourself. The other part of the foundation, though, is unconditional love. And unconditional love means no matter what you do, I'm going to pursue the goal of a connection with you. Once you have unconditional acceptance, it leads to unconditional love. And unconditional love says, I can't change you, but even if you reject me, even if you run away, you need to know I'm coming after you. I love you. The way you treat me is not based on my love. I'm choosing to love you. You can end this relationship. You can run away from me. You can abuse yourself. You can say all sorts of mean things to me, but I'm choosing to love who you are. And this is a safe place. I will love you for the rest of your life. And some of you as parents have had to have that really difficult conversation with your kids. You're trying to destroy your life. And I want you to know that's not healthy, but you're always welcome here. I love you. I don't love you just because you obey. I don't love you just because you're good. I don't love you just because you go to church. I love who you are. And every healthy family has these two foundations. Now, I want to illustrate how this plays out and how most of us handle relationships. What I need is I need two people to volunteer. And these need to be two people that are connected. They can be married, dating, like each other. Your husband's not with you, though. It would work better with a husband. Okay, yes, you guys, come on. Come on down. Head on up. All right. This is not pre-planned. This is not scripted. This is Rick. Everyone say, hi, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
And this is Alicia. Everyone say, hi, Alicia.
Hi, Alicia.
Okay, now, this is how relationships start off. What I need you to do, Alicia, is I need you to stand on top of that chair, okay? Yes, stand. I can safely. This is your Tom Cruise on Oprah moment. There you go.
Squishy.
All right, yep, squishy. All right, you good? You safe? Okay, all right. Now, Rick, I need you to go and stand on this chair. Okay. Now, in a relationship, you cannot control the other person. You can only control yourself. So when you get into a relationship, you've got your chair and you've got your chair. And relationships, when they first start off, we don't try to control other people. We're happy, we love them, flaws and all. Everything is great. But the longer you're in a relationship, you start to see their flaws and something happens. There's something inside of you that says, I don't like when he does that. When I fold the towels, they should be folded like this, and he just can't get this right. How many times should I have to tell you to do it this way? And there's something inside of us that says, I would love you better if you were more like me. Well, what that does, though, is that breaks the foundation of a healthy family. And this is what most of us do. And so you're in a relationship, and things are going pretty well, but you notice some things that you don't really like and you want to change, and so you hop off your chair. And you head over, and this is the fun. Now you get to stand on her chair. That's why you need to love each other. And that's why I didn't want a mom and son up here, because that would have been awkward, at least for me. So, all right, now, the problem here is that you are so close to the other person, all of their flaws are magnified. You now see everything that's wrong with them. And you're supposed to be over in your chair hanging out with yourself and working on yourself, but now you're over here and you're noticing, well, listen, you're taking up more of the chair than I am, and why don't you stand, and why did you wear flip-flops today? And, like, you're holding me too tight, and you just start to try to manipulate and control the other person. And when manipulation and control happens in a relationship, it is no longer a safe home. So often in a relationship, when one person or both people try to control one another, they pull out weapons in order to control or to get the other person to act like they want them to act. And so we have some weapons here. All right. You get this sword. She has the sword of silent treatment. And you have the sword of anger or intimidation. Now, here's how this works out. Rick, you're trying to control her. She is not being controllable. And so you raise your voice. Maybe you didn't hear me the first time. And if you don't do this, and I'm so frustrated, and all of a sudden you've created an unsafe place for people to be themselves. Because they're afraid, if I go and I bring him bad news, if I don't deliver, if I'm not perfect, he or she's going to yell at me, and I don't want to be yelled at, so let me just pretend that everything's perfect. Let me hide things from my spouse. Let me hide things from the kids, because I don't want that reaction. That reaction hurt. My house is not safe because they're going to yell or try to intimidate me. Or for some of you, it's not yelling or anger. It's that you don't know how to convey your emotions, and so you give them the silent treatment. And your spouse or your kid says, hey, what's wrong? What's going on? Nothing. Are you sure something seems wrong? I'm just tired. Well, come on. I feel like something's going on. No, it's fine. And you just walk out of the room. And the silent treatment becomes an unfair fighting tactic that you are communicating. This is not a safe place for you to be yourself. When you fail, when you let me down, I'm going to let you know it by shutting you out. And so you start, you can go ahead and hit him. There you go. You can hit her. There you go. All right. Yeah. All right. So now you start doing battle and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to hit them where it hurts. I'm going to try to control them because I've got to fix them. They're not changing fast enough. They're not becoming who I want them to be. And then you can drop those swords. And you get that sword and you get this sword. So at this point, when you can't control someone and you've thrown out some blows and you've tried to manipulate them and that doesn't work, you result to even worse fighting tactics. And at this point, this is where someone will start to bring up the past. And they'll say, I can't control this situation. I can't control you, who you are. So let's talk about what you did last year. And let's talk about what you did last month. And I know you're frustrated with me, but you haven't been doing this. And if you just knew how much I've been pouring into this family, and this is just so unfair because for years I've been doing this and you haven't been pulling your weight. And we start bringing up the past to try to win this fight. And we are just doing damage to our spouse. And what we're communicating is this isn't a safe place for you to bring up issues. If you bring up issues, I'm going to fight unfair and I'm going to hurt you. And ultimately that leads to the kill shot. Rick has the kill shot. And the kill shot is where we hit the person where it hurts. The kill shot is where we hit the person where it hurts the most. And this is where the most dysfunctional relationships happen. Because when you're this close in a relationship, you know exactly where to hit them where it hurts the most. And you don't know it when you're at this distance. When you're in that chair and she's in this chair, you don't know what's going to hit them the most. But when you're this close, you know it. And so this is the part where people start saying things like, you're just like your mother. Don't laugh too hard. This is where people start saying things like, I knew this marriage was a failure. Your last marriage was a failure, and you haven't learned anything. This is what I told you from day one. You're not going to be a good dad. This is what I told you. You are so lazy. You should be out there working hard for a job. And this is where people do the kill shot. They do whatever they can to do the most harm to try to control another human being. And this hurts so bad because the people that are supposed to be closest to you are not protecting you. And instead, they're trying to wound you, to control you. And all of a sudden, your house becomes an unsafe place to live. So how should a relationship work? Drop the weapons. Rick, you come back over here. Hang out on your chair. Alicia, you still good? Okay, hang out on your chair. Now, this is how a healthy relationship works out, whether it's with your kids or your spouse, even if you're dating, whoever it is. Healthy relationships are when two people choose one another. And the way that you do that is you say, I can't control you, and I can't control you, and so we are going to choose to meet in the middle. So, come on. come on down. Hang out on this chair. Rick, come on down. You don't have to stand up again. You can just hang out around there. Now, when two people choose to meet in the middle, what it does is it sets up a healthy foundation that says, I'm not trying to change you. You're not trying to change me. I can be 100% myself and not have to be worried about being attacked. I can be my weird self. I can be forgetful. I can just be who God has created me to be, and I'm not going to be attacked because we have both chose to meet in the middle. And this means that sometimes there are certain things that don't get talked about. There are certain things that you just have to agree to disagree upon. There are certain things that you can just say, listen, I'm so fed up with the way that you fold the laundry, but I love you so much, I'm never going to bring it up again. You do you. This is where there are some things. It doesn't mean that you don't have hard conversations, but there are some things that you have to just agree to disagree. There are some things that the relationship is so important, you are going to choose. We're just not going to talk about that. Because I have an opinion, and it's so strong, but all it does is it makes me want to change who you are. And I think you should be better right now. I think you should be handling this. But I love you so much, I'm going to make this a safe place for you to come. I'm going to accept who you are. Now, why is this so important? This is so important because if you're a Christian, this is what Jesus has done for you. Jesus didn't come to you when you were good or when you were on your good behavior. Jesus came to you that while you were yet a sinner, Jesus died for you. And when we... The whole basis of Christianity is that not that Jesus is forcing us to him or forcing us to change, is that Jesus chose us and met us in the middle. And the way a relationship with Jesus works is when you say, I hear your invitation and I'm going to come meet you in the middle. And this is a safety zone. This is where love and acceptance happens. When you're free to be who God wired you to be, and you're free to be who God wired you to be, and you're not trying to change him, and he's not trying to change you, this is a place, a foundation of love and acceptance. Would you help give a hand for them helping out? You guys can have a seat. Your home has to be a safe place to recharge. The reason that unconditional love and acceptance is so important is because this world is a dirty, messed up, broken world. And your family is leaving your home and they're engaging with the world. They're going to their jobs. Your kids are going to school. Your spouse is dealing with stuff. And when they come home, they shouldn't be afraid to be who God has wired them to be. And the foundation of your home is, hey, listen, because we're connected, because we're tied, I love you. I accept you unconditionally. Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Guys, this is so important for relationships. That until there's a healthy foundation of acceptance and love, the house is going to constantly be battling one another, and it won't be a firm foundation. So here's the application. This is what you can do with this. This week, set up boundaries to establish unconditional acceptance and love. This week, you can't control them. This isn't you telling them how they need to act and what they need to do. This is you. What are the boundaries you need to set up to have a safe home? What do you need? It's okay to let your spouse or your kids know, this is what I need. I need you to show me some grace when I'm 5 minutes late from work. I'm not intentionally, and I don't mean to do it. I just need to know that when I mess up, I'm not going to get yelled at first thing when I come into the home. Can you do that for me? I'll do my best to make it there. I just need this to be a safe place. I need a safe place to say when we talk about issues, I just need a safe place where we're not going to blow up at one another. Would you go out to dinner with me just so we can talk about, we got some stuff going on, we got some junk, and we need to work through it. So what are the boundaries that you need to establish for unconditional love and acceptance? Whether it's with a future spouse, future family, whether it's with your kids or your spouse now, this is the application of what you need to put into practice. Would you guys pray with me? Thank you so much for this day, and thank you for your love for me and for us. And God, we just ask that you would just do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. God, we're just asking that you would just break through the boundaries that we've set up and some of the hurts and wounds that we've had from our own family. And God, we just ask that you would just work, that you would just heal. And God, we ask that you would do something supernatural in us, that you would help us to do what we cannot do on our own, that we would unconditionally love and accept the family and the people that you've put in our life. We love you and we thank you for how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.